Welcome to Christ Today, and I am so very glad to have Pastor Alfredo Romero in studio today. He is with the Rock of Life Fellowship here in Chico, and what a beautiful congregation he has with beautiful singing, and if you ever would like to go visit him, please do. Pastor, welcome.
I haven't seen you for a while. It's so nice to see you, my friend. Thank you for welcoming me. That's great.
Now, would you give people the directions to the Rock of Life Fellowship?
Yeah, actually, we're on the kind of the other end of town it's off of Bruce Road in the bottom of the Skyway, where Bruce Road turns into Dominic Drive. Italian Cottage used to be there, and it's right across the street from the tire place, right across the street from the gas station there, right around the corner from the fire and rescue area. So it's right in that area there. And we've been there now this month, actually this week, we've been there 3 years.
Oh. Well, I really enjoy the services that you have there, and I find that the whole group of people who are in that church enjoy. They really enjoy the music and the preaching.
Yeah, it's a joyful place. I mean, I love it. Okay, the two most common things that I appreciate about it is that when people visit, they usually say two things. Number one, they love the authenticity of the Holy Spirit. They just, it's real, and the people are real. There's no pretense anything. We don't pretend that we have it all together, because we don't. We're a bunch of broken, imperfect people serving a perfect God, trying to reach our relationship with Christ as deep as we can, right? Mm-hmm. And then the second thing people say is just the friendliness of people. It's just...
Yes.
It is. The people are so wonderful, you know, and I can be crabby a few days here and there, but the people are just wonderful. They're great. And a lot of people are reaching for their relationship with Christ, or it's a kind of a conglomeration of people that have not been in church for a while. They have a relationship with Christ, but they just haven't fellowshipped, I guess, in a while. They just haven't met in the house. And I'm talking pre-COVID. I mean, we're talking years. Yes. And they feel this call with all the things going on in the world or whatever's happening in their lives to come back to fellowshipping with the body of Christ. And then there's also a group of people that we have that are, bluntly healing, you know, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. Maybe they were in a church and something happened, they were hurt or offended or life happened or something, and they stayed away for a while, and they're just now ready to come back and start again. And then, thankfully, the third group of people is there's a lot of people that are walking in that they don't know Christ, but they're looking for some answers right now. And it's really great. You have this awesome combination of spiritually mature people that are still, you know, reaching a higher level in their relationship with Christ and people that really have no idea who God is, but they feel a calling to come in and find out. So we're ready for everything.
Well, I would like to underline what you said about the people there that are caring. I have always found... when I've been there, that people have been warm, friendly. That's just so very nice.
Yeah,
they reach out, and it's just very nice. I'd also like to say you have sermons, not preaching.
Yeah, with sermons. Yeah, I'm a topical preacher. God, that's the way God made me. There's lots of analogies, and it's all from the Bible. We start in the Word of God. It's all about the Word of God. There's no other authority. It's all the Word of God. And what we do is we know that our mission is to explain to people that Jesus is real, always real. He's relevant, always has been, always will be. His word of God is for today. And he just really wants this active daily relationship with us. I mean, and what that means is being led by that Holy Spirit, the 24/7 and always conscious of our relationship with God, never putting God on a bookshelf or never walking out of church on a Sunday and looking back and say, okay, God, see you next Sunday, you know, and then living your life Monday through Saturday. It's this constant relationship with Christ.
Constant. Isn't there somewhere in the Bible, like maybe in Ephesians, where it says to be in prayer constantly?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and pray without ceasing. And
without ceasing.
Yeah, constantly. And that's where we were. And our message last week was all about constant prayer and fervent prayer, passionate prayer. Mm. And even prayer isn't just, hey, God, I could really use this. And I could really use it. Prayer is just like, hey, God, I just want to thank you. There are so many blessings I don't thank you for, God. And just as I go through my day, Lord, I just want to be conscious of my communication with you. And that's praying. Mm-hmm. And it's not always, Lord, here's my top 10 list of wants, needs, and desires. So, and that's included. I mean, that's there. That's included. But, you know, there's this flip that happened to me several years ago where prayer was something I did consciously. Where I wanted to talk to God, I would. And then there was this flip where suddenly prayer became like breathing. It was just there all the time. I didn't have to think about it. It just happened. I mean, it's so conscious of the Holy Spirit in my life. So, yeah, that's it. So, yeah, but the people are great and people are wonderful. And it's really real and authentic. And then you mentioned the music. The music is contemporary, but we have, it's very joyful. There's very deep, deep times of reverency. The Holy Spirit moves in these waves through the music, and it's just real, real authentic praise and worship, like it should be. You know, we should be true worshipers. And there's no we don't have fog machines and you know strobe lights going and you know, but it's just a real worship. And I because I'm a musician and I started off as a worship leader. So I worked in nightclubs for years. I mean, I used to work in nightclubs and rock bands and stuff like that. So I know the difference between playing music for my own glory and playing music for God's glory.
Yes. Yeah. What is worship? Because that's what we do when we sing and when we speak. We have all, but what?
Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
Well, worship now, I mean, I used to think, you know, praise and worship was just like, okay, what you did for a half hour on a Sunday service. Or to throw the music on, and then you start to realize that our the way we live is an act of worship. Everything that we do 24/7 is the way I speak, the way I treat others, the way I communicate with God, the way I want to live my life, my striving to striving for holiness and to live walking by the fruit of the Spirit. That's an act of worship, and frankly, there's the Word of God that says that's the least we can do. that's expected from us. You know, any extra time I take for the Lord and just giving Him thanks for everything is wonderful praise and worship. People tend to think praise is more exuberant music and worship is the more reverent music. I'm okay with that. I mean, I don't think it's anything we could really debate about. It's, you know, you think of praise music as being more, you know, more uplifting and joyful and up-tempo and then you have these worshipful moments of reverence and quiet time and reflection. And I'm okay with that. I'm all right with that.
Sure.
But back to Rock It Live. we have very moving waves of the Holy Spirit during the music, and I love that. It's very, we could just do whole services with just worship and praise music, and I'd be fine.
But for the participation of the people in Rock of Life, there's a lot of people who do other things too, and it's all being a part of a community of Christ.
Yeah, we're a family environment for sure. When we started Rock of Life 7 years ago now, we didn't want to label it. We wanted it to be what God wanted it to be. Whoever God sent, whatever happened during the services, would be authentic moves of the Holy Spirit. So we never wanted to say, we wanted to be this style of church. We want to be the millennial church. We want to be the conservative church. We want to be the old school church, or you know, the kind of the new wave church. We just said, Lord, we'll be whoever you want us to be. And what we've turned out to be, the way God designed it, is just a real family community. We have people of all ages, kids, you know, teens, young adults, you know, mature adults. We of all ages, 40, 50, 60s. There's just it is what it is. You know, it's just this community fellowship of people that are coming together from different backgrounds, different experiences in life, different trials and struggles and victories and challenges. And we get together and we authentically worship God and praise God and really desire a deeper relationship with God the Father. I mean, there's three things that we focus on. We want to honor God, we want to follow Jesus, and we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And that's what the messages are. They're challenging. We get Holy Spirit convictions. You know, nobody walks out of there without some type of, wow, that really hit me. I have work to do. And they feel encouraged. They feel uplifted. And like I said, challenged. We're a very challenging church. The Word of God that comes out is very challenging to us. You know, nobody's going to walk out going, okay, God, see you next week. I mean, I love what the Lord has built there. And we seem to be in a growth spurt now too, which is good after right. COVID and the fire. And yeah. We had so many people, because we started out in Paradise, we had so many people that lost their homes in the fire, you know, including myself and my family. So we seem now to, now that things are kind of, the environment and the culture is changing a little bit and the atmosphere of, you know, post-COVID, you know, still dealing with it obviously here and there, but it seems like people are now starting to come back.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I know one of the things that you do is you put your sermon notes out.
Yes, and every Sunday.
In the past, I have picked a few of them up and reviewed them, and it's been a refreshing thing to do. Fun.
Yeah. We try to make the services are very interactive. I mean, I'll just tell you bluntly, I mean, I've been in services where a pastor will preach 45 minutes, an hour, hour and 15 minutes, and that's fine if that's what he's called to do. For me personally, I always felt like, because I used to be in communications, that was my background as well as music, and I've been to so many training classes that people will listen to you if you stay on like this singular point. Like I always thought about people doing exit interviews coming out of church, that if I had somebody standing outside with like, you know, a clipboard, hey, what was the pastor's sermon today about? Oh, it was about not being lukewarm about hot or cold. And everybody walk out and say the same thing. And what was your challenge? Well, he challenged us to buy this and this. They could basically, everybody rattle off the same point. I mean, I've been in some sermons bluntly. I mean, I speak pretty transparent where the first, second point somebody makes sounds great. The third, fourth, fifth point, I start to get a little glassy-eyed and, you know, my backside starts to get a little uncomfortable. And so we have... it's a very active service, interactiveness, I should say. Mm-hmm. People take notes, you know, there's laughter, there's tears, there's, reflection moments during the service. We still do a meet and greet, a couple of minutes where people can go around and meet and greet each other as we're supposed to fellowship. And there's so many really, really good churches in Chico and, people walk in sometimes to Rock of Life and go, hey, this is the place I'm looking for. I feel like home here. Other people walk in maybe and they'll say, you know what, this is nice, but I feel led someplace else. Or go, that's fine. This is, as long as they find a real, true church according to God's word, it's doctrinally sound and it's all about Jesus. And, you know, God bless everybody. I mean, I'm part of a pastor's council here in Chico and I pray for their churches that everybody would at least land someplace in a church where they're growing their relationship with Christ and it's doctrinally sound. So, yeah. Amen.
That's a wonderful thing that I have found in our conversations. Doctrinally sound, you
yes.
are.
Yeah.
So, that's, of course, we go back to the Bible.
Absolutely. It's the only authority. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so, but the way things have been nowadays, and we were talking earlier, you and I, about why are people either pulling away from church or struggling right now during these times in the world. And we have a lot of people coming in looking for answers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like the messages are provide information for people about who Christ is and who they are in Christ. We focus very much on our identity. The world likes to tell us what our identity is according to the world. We focus on who our identity is in Christ.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, there's no plan that we can come up with that's better than the plan that God has for us. That's just the way it is. And whatever identity people choose, you know, once you understand who Christ is, how much he loves you, start that relationship, the more you get to know, here's the bottom line, here's the highlight focus. The more you get to know who Christ is, the more you get to know who you are. And you start realizing your identity, your true identity, according to God's word. And we focus a lot on that.
We also seek to have love in this world, and we find the purity of Christ's love to be pure and just beyond what there is in the world.
Yeah. And we don't, you know, I'm just trying to also explain to people that one thing that used to bother me when I was younger, like in my teens, is sometimes I would attend a church or some place of ministry, and everything was so joyful. That was great. And I liked the joy, that feeling of joy. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I found lacking was the teaching on how to handle trials and tribulations, to equip people for the tough times and to still count it all joy and grow your faith and know that this is about endurance. It's about a race, a marathon, and that life at times is struggling. And I never really connected when that topic was avoided. I think it didn't prepare people enough for the difficulties of life. Like, you know, my wife is for 17 years now has struggled with a neurological disease. And without our faith in Christ, without knowing the joy of the Lord, we would really struggle. We would. I mean, 78% of couples, married couples that have a spouse that develops a chronic disease ends up in divorce. And that's a really tough statistic. That's a tough one. Yeah. I just looked it up recently again to keep myself, you know, on my toes. But, you know, my wife's been struggling for something, and I still believe in her healing. We still fight. She's an amazing woman, an inspiration to everybody. But if we're not prepared, if we don't prepare people for life struggles, trials and tribulations, I mean, they're not prepared with the armor of God. They're not prepared with the word of God. They're not prepared to realize that they can still have faith, that they can still, you know, pray and a mountain be moved. I believe in healing. I believe in all of that. I just also believe that people need to be prepared for the trials and tribulations. Jesus says, you will struggle. You will have trials and tribulations. So he prepares us for it with faith, with mercy, knowing his mercy, forgiveness, endurance, armor of God. So, you know, I know that Lord fully equips us. Mm-hmm. So, and we have a lot of people in our church that are struggling. We have a couple of people with cancer and they're struggling, and people have had, you know, difficult backgrounds in life. We make no pretense about what the Lord says. We don't hide what the Lord says about needing to be strong and to overcome. We're overcomers, and we can have faith, and we can believe in healing, and we can believe spiritually, mentally, physically, and emotionally. So whatever people are going through out there, you know, God provides such comfort while we're going through it. Whether we go over the mountain, through the mountain, under the mountain, crash, whatever we do, it's all have to be guided by God. So it's the only thing that's held my wife and I really kept our faith and kept our strength and endurance, is knowing that God has prepared us for these trials and tribulations. I'm not a motivational speaker. Mm. I'm a preacher.
Well, I have met your wife, Debbie, and she is just such a wonderful person of God. I just... She inspires me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I love to see her whenever I do.
Yeah.
It's just a wonderful to see. But we do have trials and tribulations through life. That's right there in Scripture. But it seems like these days we could have even more. Because there's the uncertainty in the world. And is there a general thinking that you have about overcoming trials?
Yeah. I mean... I have a very strong men's group. I'm really thankful for my men's group. Mm-hmm. And we just finished, we're now going through different false religions in our Bible study. And before that, we finished a series on preparation and for what's going on in life and understanding world events and what's going on in our nation and trials and tribulations, mm-hmm. and what that means to our Christian walk, what that means to what a Christian is to be doing work right now. How are we supposed to be living our life despite all these things that are going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about, you know, end times and whatever that is. Whenever God said, that's it, we're done, wrap it up. I mean, whenever that happens, next week, next year, 10 years from now, whenever, we are to be at a ready. You know, I was just looking up Scripture this morning, and God says we are to be ready. He says things like, look up. He says, be prepared. It says, matter of fact, in Matthew 24, therefore you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So what does that mean? You know, we talked about basically three or four topics. Number one is, how do the world events connect to biblical prophecy and Scripture? I mean, what happens, you know, Antichrist, whether people believe in pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. Hey, just be ready. Just whatever. I have my. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm along the lines of the people that can look at the scripture and say, God is going to save us from the great tribulation, His church, the great trial, and the great wrath.
Yeah.
So I definitely lean towards the pre-trib. But we talked about that. We talked at all points, pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. We talked about it all. No trib. Some people believe in no trib. Hmm. You know, like God's church won't be called out, you know, before the great battle and the Antichrist, rise of the Antichrist. So we talked about that. And we talked about how, the third thing was, how do we as people of God, how are we to react in our life to the things that are going on right now? Because it is crazy.
Yeah.
It's nuts. And if you just flip on the news or open up your phones and iPads and look at the news, no matter what resource you look at, platform you look at, the world's a mess. And it's falling apart even more.
Yes, it is.
And I'm trying to tell people that the only hope there is, mm-hmm. is our hope in Christ. The only true unity we're going to find is in Christ. It's in the family of God. The only peace we're going to have is going to be peace of God. It's like that old bumper sticker you see, you know, if there's no God, there's no peace. But if you know God, you'll know peace, right? I mean, there's people out there that are committing suicide. They're in depression. They're in anxiety. They're searching for something this world cannot offer them. The world cannot offer them hope or peace or any type of answers or any type of respite from the trials of this world. The world does not have the solutions. And even all these other fake religions and fake beliefs, you know, worshiping the earth is not going to help you. Worshiping the climate is not going to help you. Worshiping a human man is not going to help you, or a culture, any type of platform. The only thing that's going to give us true peace and understanding and give us hope for a future now and in eternity is Christ. It's in Jesus. It's in God's word. That's where the hope is. So we're out there trying to tell people right now, and not in an offensive way, because the Bible says, whenever somebody asks you about your faith, you know, be bold, but be gentle when you explain the reason for your faith. And so we're definitely bold people. I'm definitely a bold pastor. I'm transparent. I'll tell you exactly what the Bible says. It's not my opinion, and the Bible's true whether I believe it or not.
Yes.
Okay? So, but I'll tell people exactly what God's word says in a bold but gentle manner, because, you know, I've been there. I used to live for myself. I mean, I was in music. I was in rock clubs, I lived a life, you know, void of God's will in my life. I know what that means. I know what despair is and anxiety is. And here's the thing. And I know I'm saying a lot, but if anybody listening right now and you're struggling, and you're there's some type of anxiety or stress, or you're worried, and there's anything happening in your life that you just don't have, you feel you don't have control over. Now, let me tell you, there's only two choices in life, because life's going to happen. Life is going to happen. I wish it was better, but life's going to happen. So here's the thing. There's only two choices we have. We can go through life with God or without God. And it's way better with Him. It gives me the tools I need to not freak out and lose control and go into depression and anxiety. And life is difficult, but Christ, that relationship with Christ, gets us through it. The Holy Spirit comforts us. You know, the Trinity of God, the three, Father God and the Holy Spirit, Son Jesus, each one ministers to us in a way that the world cannot do. That one God in three persons is so vital to our life here on earth. And boy, is it vital to our life after this earth. So, yeah.
Yes. But I do think about people living now, especially in a difficult situation, whether it's here in our country or in the rest of the world.
Yeah.
There's so many people who are really living with either difficulty or despair.
Yeah. And I mean, look what's going on in Ukraine.
Yes.
The persecution. I mean, Christians are the number one group of people that are persecuted in this world above anybody else. And that's just statistically true. I'm all about stats, you know, looking at reputable Pew Research, Barna Research, you know, even some of the more, some of the statistics that come out of our government, if you do your research, they're accurate, you know, some of them, but you know, you can look at the Barna and the Pew research and some of these, and you'd see that Christians are the most persecuted group out of any. They're killed every single day for their faith. Yes. China, Middle East, Iran, mm-hmm. even now in Egypt, where Christians are, and the reason why I'm saying that is because it is not easy being a Christian. Being a Christian is not for wimps. It is not. Being a follower of Christ is not for wimps. It is tough. It is extremely rewarding. It is the best life I could possibly choose in a relationship with Christ. There's nothing in this world that offers me anything better. Because when life happens and life gets tough, God gets you through it. Somehow, God gets you through it. And that's what I tell people. I'm very transparent. I'm very open. I don't sugarcoat anything. I tell people life is difficult. But what a victory we have in Jesus. What a life he offers, a life of love and joy and peace. And the whole, I can go through the fruit of the Spirit, but this love, joy, peace, this patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, this self-control, the walking in the Spirit gets me through the last 3 years of my life, where May the 6th, our associate pastor, Pastor Rick, passes away. Mm-hmm. Rick Stout used to be a principal at Paradise High School and in Woodland, and a teacher, administrative teacher at Chico State, and the principal at Champion Christian School, and my mentor, my buddy, my best friend at the time. And he passed away of heart disease. And then 1 month later on, June 4th, my dad passes away of a heart attack. You know, in his room, he lived with me, and we were just talking, and he just went down. And, he passed away. And then a month later, my daughter gave birth to my very first grandson. And then, then my other daughter got married that same month. And then 4 months after all that, emotional things, the Paradise Fire, November the 8th, and we lost all of our homes. My daughter lost her home. We lost our home. My niece, my sister, we all lost everything like everybody else. And then we're in a hotel in January on the 2nd, and then my wife, who doesn't walk, she drives a scooter, had an accident on her scooter outside the hotel across the street from Walmart, where we were living at the time, and completely shattered her leg, spiral fracture, and ended up in the hospital for over a month. So, and then I'm living in this hotel room in January of 2019. And my daughter, her newborn baby, who's 4 months old, and her husband and their two dogs are upstairs above us in the hotel. My wife is in the hospital. I'm in this hotel room by myself, and I need clothes. So I go cross street to Walmart about 10:30 at night, and I'm walking back with like t-shirts and underwear and pajamas and a few things I needed. And I stopped on the sidewalk before I crossed the road to get to the hotel. And I had this conversation with God, and my very first words were, God, what happened? What just happened? I just had this weird moment of like, what happened? I mean, a few months ago, I was singing in church with my dad, and he was, mowing our lawn, and we were having barbecues, and we were expecting, this great year. My daughter was getting married. Mother daughter's having a baby. My dad's birthday was June the 13th, just a week after he passed. And then there's Father's Day the next week. And then my sister from Hawaii was going to move over with us. I was going to have almost my entire family in Paradise. And then my wife, and all of a sudden I just kind of went, I don't have a car. I don't have any money. I don't have a home. My daughter's upstairs with her newborn baby. I'm walking across the street with Walmart because I need clothes. My wife's in the hospital. My dad's gone. Pastor Rick's gone. And the only thing I can say was, thank you, God. I trust you. I trust you. But through all this, I trust you. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know how I'm going to go through it at the time. I don't know how I'm going to make it, emotionally, mentally, physically. Yeah. But I had the relationship, thankfully, with God that I could say, I trust you. I trust you, God. I don't know how we're going to get through this. And we were trying to build the church at the time. And after the fire, we were trying to get into this new building, and we were trying to build the infrastructure of the building. There was no money. There's no workers. We had to stop in the middle of it because there was nobody. We were all just trying to live. You know, we're just trying to, you know, get through the fire. And then I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know what else to say, but okay, I trust you. Somehow I'm going to make it. Not that I wasn't upset, not that I wasn't anxiety ridden, not that I wasn't worried. It wasn't that I wasn't stressed. I was, but I knew the only way I could handle all that was to put it at the feet of God and just go, okay, God, I can't carry this. It's way too heavy for me. And I want everybody to know out there, I know there's a lot of stuff people are carrying, different than mine, yeah. You know, degrees more than what we went through or less, or it doesn't matter, same or doesn't matter. Whatever we're carrying, God is the only answer to give us that relief that we need, that faith that we need, the hope that we need, the endurance that we need. God is the only answer. You will not find, if I didn't have Christ in my life at that time, I would have been, I wouldn't be here right now. I would not be here right now. If I didn't have Christ in my life, I don't know where I would be, my family, my marriage, I don't know where I would be. But if I couldn't turn to God and say, God, though you slay me, no matter what happens, that's a quote from Job, I trust you. No matter what happens in this life, God, I'm trusting you. Because I know that this life isn't the end all. This isn't it. I'm going to fight through this life. I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to enjoy my kids. I'm going to enjoy my grandkids. I'm going to enjoy my friendships. I'm going to love to go to church, and I'm going to struggle to pay my bills, and I'm going to smile. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to take my wife to the movies, which she really loves. It's a great escape for her. And I'm going to preach on Sundays, or I'm going to study my Bible, or I'm just going to watch a silly game show on TV, or while I'm eating my dinner or whatever with my wife. I'm going to push through. Because I know later on, Lord, you have something so wonderful for us, that this life on this earth is just a blip. It's a period at the end of a sentence in a book with never-ending pages. And someday when we're all in heaven, prayerfully, we're all in heaven, I won't remember all this. It'll be okay. You know, whether I remember it or not, the pain of this life, it'll be gone. God said there's no more tears in heaven. There's no more despair. There's no more anxiety. So, okay, just I'll push
joy.
Forward.
That's
just joy.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm looking forward to seeing my dad again and, you know, Pastor Rick. And yeah.
I think it's so interesting that we love ourselves so much. We love other people also. But when you think about how much God loves us, it's so much greater. It's so immense. God's love for each one of us.
Yeah. And what's really sad is that the amount of people that are out there right now that are pulling away. I tell people that there's two groups of people in this world, but you could divide them up into three. And I've said this at church a few times. There are the ones that have a true relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, with their doctrine is sound. It's the Jesus, the one of the Bible. It's not any other Jesus that people have concocted any place. I mean, we're talking about true followers of Christ, okay? And then there are ones that haven't made that decision yet or refuse to make that decision,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Okay, but here's how I divide it up into three parts. For those people who have a real relationship with Christ, okay, let's just put them on the right for now. Okay, you're here, okay. And then the ones that say, no, I don't care. I don't believe in it. So you can put them over. Okay, just put them over here on the other side. Okay. But until God wraps this up, there are these people that are on the fence. And the truth is, there really is no fence. They think they're on the fence. I kind of believe in God. You know, I might, you know, I go to church once in a while, or you know, but you know, I don't really believe it's the Bible's really true or accurate. But I think there's a God, I just don't know what it is. So in other words, I'm dividing the people that flat out say, nope, 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 atheist. Nope, 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 no God, nothing, it's us, we know, we're born, we die, we cease to exist, no consciousness, boom, we're done, out. But still there's these people out there that say, there could be something. You know, that it's kind of like you could split that one group into two parts. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, and here's my point, the truth is, it's really only one group. You know, on that side and one group on this side. Jesus says, you're for me or you're against me. There's no middle ground. So if you haven't yet made up your decision about Christ, it's not the way it works. People need Jesus now, right now, because we don't know the hour or the time when God's going to wrap this up. It could be tomorrow. We could wake up tomorrow, you hear this trumpet, and boom, and blink of an eye, like lightning, boom, yes. he calls us home. So the urgency, so if we, the question is, what are Christians to be doing right now in this world while it's crumbling and falling apart, and there's this culture wars, and there's actual wars, nation against nation, and rumors of wars, and pestilence, and disease, and natural disasters? Well, the Bible says all of that. That's going to happen.
It sure does.
That's a sign of the times that God's getting ready to wrap it up. So the point I'm trying to say is that we don't have time to sit and, well, maybe God. Christians right now are to be working on their testimonies, on their lives, and we are to be making disciples. We are to be talking about Jesus and his way, him being the truth and the life. That's what we're to be doing. The problem that the world has with that is that they look at Christians and they go, I had a bunch of hypocrites. I know your life. I know what you used to do. I know where you came from. And if I blow it, I mean, my goodness, if I ever say a curse word or if I ever get angry and or something and I just, you know, I have a fleshly moment, there's people around me that go, aha, I knew it. Some kind of Christian you are. Yeah, I'm going to listen to you. And I tell people, look, I ain't perfect. I'm an imperfect, broken person trying to serve this perfect God. I'm working on my relationship with Christ every day. And if I blow it, I'm so sorry, because there used to be a time in my life, in my past, where I could blow it. I could do something horrible to somebody. I could be hateful. I could be mean, unforgiving. I could hold offense. I could do that, and I wouldn't even give a thought about how I was grieving God. I wouldn't give a thought how I was hurting people. Now I'm different. Now, I mean, I can't even... I mean, when I go to the bank and I'm writing out, a piece of paper with their pen, I make sure I go, here's your pen back. You know, I'm so conscious, I don't want to offend God. Mm-hmm. But when I do, it's not because I want to. I now have repentance. I go, I just don't want to hurt God anymore. So I know that's a lot, but Jesus really is the only answer. And a relationship with him is always a work in progress. Always. I'm going to disappoint people. I'm not perfect. That old bumper sticker again. Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. But here's the difference. I don't want to take his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness for granted. I don't want to say, well, God will forgive me anyway. I can sin and God has mercy. He's got to forgive me if I ask, right? No, you're mocking God and you're not understanding what true forgiveness is. And if that's any Christian out there, we have work to do.
Yeah,
we are to work on our testimony, work on our life with Christ, so that we could. The number one thing is we need to be real honest, and striving witnesses for God. We are to be ambassadors of Christ. We are to represent our God, and we have to do that even in our frailties, even in our sin, even in our we're forgiven, but we need to work on our testimonies, because people will look at you and they want to know, hey, what's different about you? What's different about you? You used to not be like, what's going on? And you want to say, it's Christ. It's my relationship with Jesus. And anyway, go ahead.
There's something about repentance in there too.
Yeah. Repent. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Turn around. Don't do things different. Don't keep doing what you used to do. Flip around. Go the other way. Because the road you're headed on, it's not going to lead you anywhere but destruction.
Yeah. Now, you also said something about the people who are sitting on the fence. And that is one of the groups of people that have my heart, because I know plenty of people who won't go one way or the other.
Yeah.
And they're lovely people.
Sure.
They care. They have compassion for other people. But they just won't take that step to Jesus, towards Jesus, to try to seek him, understand the truth. If the gospel is true, if there is a God.
Yeah.
And so my heart goes out to the people of those who are sitting on the fence.
So I keep talking to your audience in the sense of, if there's anybody out there that doesn't have a relationship with Christ and you have all these questions, let me kind of relate to you hopefully for a second. Because one of the biggest questions I get as a pastor is, why does God send good people to hell? Like, there's so many good people out there. They're so nice. They're the nice. They would never hurt any. They're so good. And that's one of the, it's not the, It's not the toughest answer. It's God has an answer for that. But it's one of the ones that you have to take your time with and truly explain that salvation has nothing to do with being good. It has nothing to do with your works, you know, helping old ladies cross the street, donating to your favorite charity, never saying a curse word, being kind to others. It's not that, because we all have that ability to sin. We all are born that. I have grandkids. Trust me, the easiest thing to do with your grandkids is not try to convince them to be bad. You know, they don't like sharing. They like to hit each other once in a while. And normal kids, right? They'll fight. They'll scream if they don't get their way. And we have to teach them morals, values, ethics, right? And they grow up. Our natural instinct as human beings is to be selfish. And so even the best person, even the kindest person is not perfect. They have that fight to stave off being wrong and evil and bad. So our salvation has nothing to do with being good. It has to do with one thing only, the grace of God. It is by God's grace. It's by grace through our faith. If it was about being good and bad, we would all blow it. How could God say everybody that's good gets into heaven? None of us would make it. None of us. Not the most religious, kindest person ever wouldn't make it, because it's not about being, because we've all done something bad and we'll all probably will in our lives again. Will. Absolutely. Not that we want to, but here's the thing. So God says, all right, you're not going to get into heaven by yourself. I want this relationship with you. And the way to have this relationship with you for that lasts for eternity, because I love you. I want you with me forever. And there's a way to get there. It's through my son, Jesus Christ. It's through belief in him as your Lord, your Savior. He was born, he lived, he died, he was resurrected so that we would have life. All you have to do is ask him into your heart with real. I really ask the Lord in my heart. It's a realness. It's an authenticity. I need a Savior. It's a need for a Savior. I realize I need a Savior. I'm turning back from my ways. I don't want to do this anymore. I need a Savior. And forgive me for what I've done in my life and the sins that I've done. I want that. I want that hope, that love. I want that mercy, that grace, that forgiveness you offer. Save me. And then God says, once you've joined that family of Christ, then there's work to do. Obviously, there's work to do. But back to your point, and I know I took the long way to get there, but there's an urgency right now. There's an urgency in this world. It's crumbling. It's falling apart. And people are pulling away from the truth. Mm. Matter of fact, I was just looking at statistics. I'll go back 20, 25 years, really, and the decline of Christianity. The decline of people who believe in Christian way, people with no formal religious identity, is 26% of the population, which means basically there's almost 70% of people identify with some type of Christianity. Mm. It's dropped to 63%. But here's the truth. I that's not really accurate in the sense of true believers in Christ. People that say they have a true relationship with Jesus Christ in America is actually down to 32%. I mean, we're talking, and I don't even know if it's that high. I don't know. But when you ask people, are you a Christian? They could say yes, but what is your definition of Christianity? It's been misrepresented and corrupted. You could be a different religion of Christianity that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Uh-huh. There are plenty of religions out there that say the word Jesus, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible. So there is an urgency right now to explain who Jesus is, to represent him with our lifestyle, the way we talk, the way we speak, the way we act, the way we treat others, the way we love others. We are to be ambassadors of Christ. And it's urgent right now, because people are turning away from him. Blatantly, I could keep going on, and I know I talked a bit, but here, I'll give you a really good example. one of my strongest leaders in my church, one of the men that I have, one of my leaders, he walked into our church a few years ago and didn't believe in God. He says, you know, he got invited. He had visited churches here and there during his lifetime, but he showed up to our church and basically says, hey, can I talk to you? I said, sure. I've come to your church about 2-3 times now and listened to your messages. Can we have lunch? I said, sure, let's go to lunch. So we have a cup of tea someplace, and he starts asking me all the hardest questions in the world. Hmm. I've been listening to you about Jesus being the only way, and that the way my salvation works is that I have to accept Christ as my Savior. And I said, and I explained it to him what that means, for, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And I said, the only way to salvation, and you have to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord. I went through the basic salvation. But then he said, all these questions that a lot of people have nowadays. Well, if God's a good, loving God, why does he allow disease and pestilence? Why are little kids sick? Why does that happen? And then he says things like, why is there wars? Why is there killing and murder? And then he'll say things, and then he asks me questions like, why do good people go to hell? Why is he the only way? What about good atheists, good agnostics, good this religion, that religion, Muslims, Sikhs, Buddhists, he's going to, why? There's great people, the best people I've ever met were this group. Why can't they get in heaven? I'm explaining, I'm answering, not through my own words, but I'm telling him what the Word of God says. Okay, I'm saying, this is what God says. This is what the Word of God says. Here's your answer here. This is how Jesus explains it here. Because it's not about being good. If it was about being good, none of us would make it. And there's so different degrees of what the world calls good. So I'm explaining. And then he tells me this story about how not too long ago, he was struggling with alcohol. And he said one morning he woke up and he said his life was falling apart because of it. And he said, I'm done with it. He goes, I just woke up and I had no longer a desire for alcohol. I was just done. And from that day, I've never drank. And he goes, you know, I just decided that I was done with it. And I started laughing. And he goes, why are you laughing? And I said, because you think you did that on your own. And he goes, what? I go, God has a plan for you. And alcohol was a barrier in your life between you and God. And you wouldn't remove it. And God knew what you needed, so he removed it for you. So you and I could be sit here talking right now. So you would come into church. You couldn't do that if you were still an alcoholic. So God's got a plan for you. And there's a lot of times where God will intervene. He's got a plan. So, and he said, you're the first person that ever told me anything like that. I said, it's because God has a plan for you. You think it's by coincidence we're sitting here talking right now? And I further explained to him about what it means to be in the family of God, what it means to be saved, what it means to still struggle, and that you're not going to become perfect. All your problems aren't going to go away. We still have to work. We still got to pay bills. We got to deal with illnesses and sicknesses. But God will. And here's the tough part. And everybody, just listen to this for a second, because this is important. And I know I'm saying a lot. There's a lot of points here, but this is really important. Once you're a believer in Christ, your problems don't all disappear magically. But here's the difference. And I'll use myself as an example. Life happens, and it's brutal, and it's tough. But the difference is, I stopped, for the most part, thankfully, creating my own problems and just piling on what life was going to do to me. Jesus gave me the opportunity by his Holy Spirit, God gave me through his Holy Spirit, to lead me and guide me to resist temptations, to stop creating my own problems. I started realizing I was just piling crud upon crud in my life because I didn't have the tools to handle what life was going to throw at me because I was too busy creating my own issues because of my disobedience. Because of my lack of faith, because of my sin, because of my open sin, because of my bonehead mistakes in creating my own issues. And once I understood that God gave me a way to avoid a lot of these temptations and to walk in love and grace and mercy and forgiveness, I stopped creating for the most part, not always, because I can be a jerk at times, but I stopped creating my own huge major problems. My marriage got better, my life got better, my relationship with my parents got better. I stopped dismissing friends and walking in unforgiveness and offense. You know, I watched the way I spoke, the way I talked, and people noticed the difference, and it was nothing that I could do on my own. That's what I told my friend. I can't do this on my own. It's Christ in me. It's the power that he gives me through his Holy Spirit to overcome all this idiocy that I was walking in, creating my own issues. So now whatever life throws at me, I'm ready. Come on, whatever. I can handle it now because God is with me. He never forsakes me. He never leaves me. The power of his Holy Spirit. I can walk in a victory. I can fight. I can battle. I have the armor of God on, and I can take on whatever the enemy has for me because I'm not doing it in my own power. I'm doing it with the power of God. So that's my big point.
Oh, that's great. No, these are all things that apply to us very much.
Right.
And we learn when we get the understanding, we apply it to our life. And that's the wonderful thing about the gospel.
Yeah, and it's hard work. It's not easy. I mean, probably the biggest blessing that I could say God's giving me, one of the biggest blessings, is friendship. I have more friends than I've ever had now. Good, true, deep friends. And I stopped running with the people that were just bringing me down. I used to run with a really bad group of people. And what I mean is they weren't the influence in my life that I needed. Mm-hmm. I was allowing myself to be influenced by other people's lifestyles and other people's choices. And I realized that the main influence I need in my life is Christ. I there was relationships I had to end because they were bad for me. I was too weak. I couldn't handle it. I had to end relationships. And at the same time, when I dedicated my life to Christ in this big, massive rededication, you know, 20-something years ago, I actually called up people that I still had their numbers, and I asked for forgiveness. Hey, I hurt you. I messed up. I broke up our relationship, whether it was a friend or an acquaintance or a coworker. I was calling people up or a family member, saying I was sorry. I said, I did you wrong. I held offense against you. It was my fault. And I'm sorry. Whether we continue our relationship or regrow our relationship or not, because some of those relationships, I can't. Some of those relationships, we can't pick up back up again. You need to lay them down. God's got something new for you. But I apologize to as many people I had the contact number with for all the times in my life that I hurt them because I needed that. I needed to forgive others because I was carrying around a lot of unforgiveness and a lot of offenses. I was just that type of person that if you did something to me, if I felt you stabbed me in the back, if I felt you hurt me or you dissed me in some way, disrespected me, I could drop you. You could be a friend for 5-6 years, buddy, friend, pal, woo, you know, go out and do things together. But if you did something to me, just one thing that I felt dissed me, I could drop you and I wouldn't think about him anymore. It wouldn't even hurt me. That's how cold and callous I was.
And you're a changed man now, that's for sure.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there are times, I mean, yes, I am. I am changed. Thank you, Jesus. But the enemy wants me to pick that back up, then I won't.
But forgiveness is such an important part of following Christ.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Bible even says, you know, the measure that we forgive will be forgiven. And I'm like, oh, that was a big one I had to work on. And like I said, the enemy would like us to pick it back up again.
Yes, that's something that many Christians have to work on.
Oh, the enemy wants, I mean, there's like this backsliding description. The enemy wants nothing more than for us to go back to the way we were or pick up our old sins or go back to our old lifestyles. I don't want to do that. And there's temptations and I fight things off all the time.
Sure. Yeah.
But I don't want to go back to the way I used to live. I was what a jerk. Oh my goodness. Oh, you didn't want, there are people in my life that could say, and probably do say, I'll divide them up into two groups again. Some people would go, oh, Alfredo's a pastor. Oh, cool. Yeah. I knew him when he was younger and you know, he went to Bible study and yeah, that's really cool. And wow, you know, really? Alfredo's a pastor? And then there's those people that would hear I'm a pastor and they would go, what? Alfredo's a pastor? No, him? You know, They would go the other way.
It's the power of Jesus Christ to save us and to change us. That's what we rely on.
He transforms, he restores.
Yes.
And here's the thing. I do want to make one more point for anybody who's listening that doesn't have a relationship with Christ yet. Somehow there's this misinformation going out that once you give your life to Christ, you become this robot. That you just walk around going, oh, praise Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Can I give you a tract?
Oh.
You know, have you heard about Jesus? You know, and then you just become this animatronic kind of follower. And that's not it at all.
Oh, no.
What happens is God has given everybody these gifts and these talents and these skills and these, and he wants to give us more. So here, and these we're all different. Everyone's a totally different person. But what God does, when you start your relationship with Christ, he takes what was skillful and true and good about your personality and what he blessed you with, and he just throws gasoline on. He wants it to be this raging fire of your skills and your gifts and your talents and your desires and this blessings that he just gave you at birth, really. And then anything that's harmful to you, anything that you've done that's hurtful, anything that's destructive to you and others, he wants that gone. He wants that purged. He wants to filter you through the Holy Spirit. He wants to transform you. All these things that you hear about these, you know, Christians that once you become a follower of Christ, that we just have like no free will and we're just like these animatronic, we just walk around in a, you know, we go to church on Sundays and Bible study every single night and never say a curse word. And you know, sometimes Hollywood movies portray Christians as these, you know, extremists, you know, and we're not. We're just human beings. We just love the Lord, and we recognize our frailties. We recognize our sin, and we say, we don't want it. We don't want to handle it. God, I'm giving it over to you. And then we, through the rest of our lives here on this earth, we our number one priority is to please God. Mm-hmm. Please God and have faith. And to strive for this holiness life, that just means I want to strive for the things of God. Yeah, that's all we're doing. And yeah, that's it. But I just wanted to make that point that, hey, you know, we're just people.
People who love. People who love Jesus, who love our brothers and sisters in Christ, and who love people in the world.
Yeah.
And that's a part of the gospel that we are to bring to other people.
Yeah, that this life isn't it. You know, we're going to get through this life. We'll make it. We'll struggle at times, but we'll push. We'll make it. But this is not our home. This is not the final home. This is not our forever home. And people need to know that this is not this earth. These trials, tribulations, this isn't it. There's an end to this, and there's a future that God is offering everybody, everyone, if they would just receive it. Through his son, Jesus Christ, an eternal life with Christ.
What time is your Sunday service for everybody to come?
10 a.m. on Sunday, come early. We just opened up a coffee bar there, a little coffee shop. Everybody come have coffee. It's free. We just take it by donations. It's run by our youth group. Music, announcements, testimonies, a good word from the Bible, a real challenge to our lives. You'll definitely walk out thinking, woof, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. So... yeah.
But I also want to have everyone know that it is a pleasant church to be at.
Yeah.
The people are pleasant. You're pretty okay yourself.
Yeah.
Pastor Alfredo Romero, I just am so glad that you could come on Christ Today.
Yeah, I thank you. I thank you. Also, I want to mention for anybody that can't make it, we do live stream. Mm-hmm. Just go to Facebook, or you can even go to our website. On the very bottom, you connect to Facebook, and we live stream all the services. And if you miss a service, go to our YouTube channel. Our YouTube channel has our services on our YouTube channel. You'll see every single sermon we've ever preached on YouTube.
Well, I hope to see you soon at the Sunday services, and I'm so thankful that you would be here today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, my friend.
Pours out to every name.